You know, I mean, I've never been in this spot, and I'm not going to act like I know what the hell I'm going to do tomorrow when I get in here.
I'm here to play football. That's not, my feeling doesn't matter. We've lost a lot of close games, but we've lost them. So that's it. This is the NFL. It doesn't matter who you play. You have to play at your best, and you know, they outplayed us. Game's over.
Mike McCarthy, Randall Cobb, back to the program. My name is Bill Michaels. As we continue to break down the Green Bay Packers, Mike Clemens from NFL Sirius Radio joining us here momentarily. As a matter of fact, he's going to be joining us down in Atlanta this year as we get ready for the NFL's biggest game, brought to you by our good friends at San Giorgio Pizzeria, the Napoletana Pizzeria, North Old World 3rd Street in Milwaukee, next to the Calderon Club. Also the home of the Bill Michaels. Stop in and grab it. Unreal Pizza, great service, and make sure to say hi to my buddy Gino down there. Also our friends at Point Brewing, as Joe Martino and his staff are fantastic people up there in Stevens Point, and they have that Cider Boys. They pair it up with Bill Michaels down at San Giorgio. So when you go in there, make sure you ask for the Cider Boys along with that. And our friends at Skipper Buds, huge selection of yachts and pontoons and sports and deck boats. It's that time of year if you want to get a big present for yourself or maybe for the family. Yes, the best in water sports, they have it. Cruisers, Four Winds, Mastercraft, Smokercraft, Taiga. They've got it all. Go to SkipperBudsPewaukee.com. That's Skipper Buds. Well, just Skipper Buds. You can find a location near you because they're all over the state. Great service. See my buddy Ryan out in Pewaukee and also the general manager over there, Todd, and they will hook you up just like Santa Claus does. Speaking of Santa Claus, the guy that always spreads cheer, Mike Clemens from NFL Sirius Radio, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Hello, Michael.
Ho, ho, ho to all of you.
There you go.
So, listen, man, this week, yeah, they got a game against Atlanta. A couple more games after that. The players and the coaches have to worry about that. But you're really talking about structure and the very foundation of this place and where it goes from here. Because whereas the Bears have gone through, like, they went through four coaches when Mike McCarthy was there. This franchise has only gone through four coaches in the last 26 years. And so you've got, you know, decisions that are making that, it's not just more than head coach. It's kind of the direction of the whole aircraft carrier at 1265 Lombardi Avenue and where this thing is going to go in the future, besides just trying to see if he can get back to the Super Bowl in a year or two. I want to talk about the Washington Redskins. They had a legendary coach named George Allen. He brought in a guy named Jack Pardee, who'd been a linebacker, and Pardee had coached the Bears for two or three years, got him to the playoffs one year. This is like the late 70s. But after the third year, Pardee only got to 6-10. He'd lost to the Cowboys the year before, and he got fired. Jack Kent Cook fired him. Jack Kent Cook was the owner, pretty smart guy, broadcasting guy, who had a good eye for coaches. He wasn't a football guy, but he had a pretty good eye. You know who he hired one time? He owned a Canadian baseball team in 64, saw this really sharp young like minor league manager, and he offered him a job, and the guy took it. It was Sparky Anderson.
Oh, yeah.
He had a good eye for talent. So this owner said, I trust my instincts on who I hire, even though he had a good GM in Bobby Bethard. He had a great lineup. He had Joe Theismann, John Riggins, a running back, Art mm-hmm. Monk receiving passes. They drafted Dexter Manley. They were on their way. That just the coach wasn't getting it done. And he went out and hired a guy from the Chargers, young, bright, offensive mind, part of that Dan Fouts, you know, Air Coryell kind of light up out there. He hired this young guy named Joe Gibbs, who brought in his own group, brought in his own program.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Gibbs would win the Super Bowl three times over the next 11 years. And the guy who was one of the guys who was sitting in that team that saw this change in the middle of his career addressed this to the Green Bay Packers on Sunday night. It was Mark Murphy, who played safety for those Redskins.
You know, I just met with the team. I talked to the players. You know, I mentioned, talked to them a little bit. I was in a similar position about halfway through my career. I know it's a difficult time, a lot of uncertainty for players, and there's a lot left to play for, both as a team and certainly for them individuals. Very best thing they can do is play their best and for the team to play well. You know, the other thing I would mention as we move forward, we'll be going forward with the search process. Brian will be actively involved, and our goal is to get the very best coach to get the Packers back to playing championship football.
So, Mike, you know, he makes that decision to go ahead and let Mike McCarthy go. In addition to that, when he also then, because he said I a whole lot about what he was looking for and about what he wanted, and then he starts to say, oh, by the way, yeah, there's the GM, Brian Gutekunst. He's been watching the locker room all year long.
Yeah. You know, even though he a year ago at this time, Mark Murphy is going to let Ted Thompson go and push him down the hallway, let him serve for one more year to fill out his contract. Brian Gutekunst comes as the GM. McCarthy comes in, Russ Ball, the finance guy. But Murphy says, moving forward, it's not just going to be the GM running the whole operation. They're going to report to me. Well, he's trying to break down things that didn't work with that system. And I honestly think, I understand the point of not having, you know, truck stop owners like the guy in Cleveland, you know, hiring and firing GMs and all that. They're not football people. You got to get a football guy to make the football decisions. But Murphy's argument, and I think it's valid, is that I've been around this long enough that I know how to get these people in place too. At the same time, they only gave McCarthy the one-year extension. They were obviously concerned about where the franchise was going the last 2 years with or without Aaron Rodgers. And then McCarthy had to make the, you know, the decision like, all right, I'll change my coaches. I'll get rid of Dom. I'll try and bring in some fresh blood. I'll try and bring in some new ideas. Well, he didn't. He brought in some Pittsburgh guys on the offense that were just kind of yes men. And Gutekunst has spent this whole year evaluating McCarthy and reporting back to Murphy. There's a video on the team website. After they beat the Dolphins, there's a camera inside the locker room, and you see kind of an average celebration led by McCarthy. There should have been probably more excitement. But instead of like, this is our next step to get to the Super Bowl, it's more like, hey, it's nice we got a win today. And in the back, you see, with a frown, Brian Gutekunst, like, this is not what it's supposed to be. And so Murphy talked about that Gutekunst has been monitoring the locker room for the past year.
I mean, Brian and I talked throughout the whole year. Obviously it's been disappointing, but like I said before, we've been in these situations before, and our whole focus was on giving Mike the support that he needs. And we were optimistic and hopeful that, you know, we would be able to make a run and make it into the playoffs. And Brian, I don't know if you wanted to respond to...
Yeah, I'll just go back to his question real quick. I just want to say that, you know, I have felt since I've been here, you know, I have a very good relationship with a lot of our veteran players and stuff. And certainly we're in constant communication about how our locker room is and kind of and where that is at. So from that point, obviously, we're not going to, consult any of our players on the search and have them a part of it. But at the same time, I think we have a very good feel for our locker room. So that I'll, you know, answer it that way.
Yeah. Well, the other thing I'd say... Aaron was no part at all of the decision to move on from Mike.
Correct.
Well, okay. No part of all the decision to move on from Mike. My assumption is Mike, we heard so much. I mean, I think they're protecting Aaron Rodgers to make it look like Aaron Rodgers is not a coach killer. Aaron then comes out and says, well, we hug and all that kind of stuff. But Mike, we were sitting here talking on Monday, you know, with John Kuhn, and we, you know, one of the things that was brought up was, if this is all true, then why was none of this being said over the last couple of years when Mike was in seemingly drowning?
Because McCarthy's never going to talk about, you know, behind the door things like that, because he's also never trying to get the players to talk out of line like that. You know, McCarthy's a guy that he started shying away from the media so much. He used to do the coaches show and fans could stand up and ask him a question.
Yeah.
You know, and Jesse Garcia and Lance did a good job asking questions, and he didn't like it. He didn't like to have to be on the hot seat under the lights and answering those questions. They got rid of the audience. Then they got rid of outside, you know, journalists. And he also just had, he was going to cut his Monday press conferences, and there was a huge beef about that from the media, you know, representatives during this last training camp. It's like, just, you know, the paranoia starts to set in a little bit. When the national media people come and they say, is coach going to talk after practice? No, he already talked at, you know, 10 o'clock this morning. Well, what is that? I want to see what's going on. I want to ask about what happened to practice today. Well, welcome. You'll have to wait till tomorrow. Or we'll move practices to Saturday, so actually you don't get to really talk about anything for the last 2 days before the game. There's all those kinds of shifting. They're already talking about moving practice back to Friday, by the way. So those kinds of things also raise red flags. Another thing is that you got a new regime in here, man, with Mark Murphy and Gutekunst, and if you screw up, you're out the door. Just ask Clinton Dix. Just ask Jermaine Whitehead, who smacks a Patriot center in the face mask. gone the next day. It's bang, it's bang, it's bang. And if you put out a tweet that says, hey, 12 and everybody in this building needs to be held accountable. You don't need an offensive guru. You need a Lombardi standard. After 13 years, Winston Moss, boom, out the door. Now, Winston could be outspoken. You remember this clip we had on the show when I asked him about the progress of Nick Perry.
I don't know yet. Nick Perry has not practiced with me this offseason, so I don't know what I have. I know what you want, but from the state of mind that I'm in right now, I will not evaluate Nick Perry on last year. I think that last year is over with. We've moved on from that. I don't want to dwell upon last year. So,
has Nick made any progress?
Nick Perry, in my book, has done absolutely zero.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then after comments like that, he would give you a really honest, objective, detailed, honest evaluations of what's going on with the team. Pretty soon, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he stopped talking at all. He just would stand up there and say yes, no. And finally, we got to the point where we said, well, look, if the coach doesn't want to talk, then don't bring him in here. It's, you know, we're all wasting our time. And so he stopped coming in. Mike Patton was asked about Winston Moss being fired and what's going on.
You know, it bothered me a little bit. It was put out there that, some things about Winston and I not communicating. And, I mean, that couldn't be further from the truth. I mean, Winston, as we all know, is not the most communicative person. But, I mean, he's on the defensive staff. I mean, we're in there. I mean, it's logistically impossible not to have interaction. I mean, anytime I needed to deal with Winston about something, he was always able to, you know, to answer the question and as best he could. And if he didn't have the answer, he'd go get it. So, I know, how some people kind of perceive that from the outside. So, I just know how it was with us, and that certainly wasn't the case.
Let's do this, Mike. Let's grab a break here real quick. We'll come back. We got a lot more that we want to discuss. Obviously, now how this offense is going to get back on track. Hang in there. Mike Clemens from NFL Sirius Radio joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. We've got more of the Bill Michaels Show right after this.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Mike came by the office, I think, Tuesday. We all saw him as a staff. It was great. And then, you know, we talked, and he wanted an opportunity to speak to the team, which is 100% fully supportive of. And he did a fantastic job talking to the team, not just about football and about winning football games, but about, you know, and his passion for the game, his love for the players. It was clearly evident. And, I'm sure it was, emotional for him and everybody in the room. It was awesome. I thought he did a great job.
Yeah, he came in. We gave him a standing ovation. He gave his remarks, and then we gave him another standing ovation on his way out.
Welcome back. Those are the words as the Green Bay Packers welcome back Mike McCarthy, Joe Philbin, Randall Cobb. Gave him the standing ovation as Mike McCarthy came back and addressed the team. Joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline now, Mike Clemens from NFL Sirius Radio. And, Michael, it's nice that they brought him back. It's just odd. It normally never happens.
No. You know, when Mike Sherman got fired, it was at the end of a horrible 4-12 season. It was Ted's first year as general manager. Ted was taken away free, Ryan Longwell. See ya. We're not going to renew you. What? I mean, that'd be like saying that, you're getting rid of Mason Crosby today. He's done. We're done with him. After the Detroit game and after missing a winning field goal the other day, there were shocking cuts that Ted was making as he started the rebuild in 2005. And then they had a lot of injuries at running back, and Sherman ends up going 4-12. And Favre has thrown 27 interceptions because he's doing everything he can to make something out of, chicken salad out of you-know-what. And so there was a sense that he was going to get fired. He sure did the next morning after 5 years, even though it was rebuilt. And, of course, part of that reason was Bob Harlan said, look, he wasn't working out as a general manager. I brought in a general manager. He didn't get along with the general manager, and they had a losing season, so we had to make a change. Sherman was allowed to come back a couple of days later and have a press conference, and we talked to him. It was sort of an end-of-season thing. They were just starting the search for the new head coach and guys that they were going to interview and waiting for guys to get free from some of the playoff teams and whatnot. for McCarthy right now, for the organization right now, they're in the middle of a season. And any more talk about McCarthy heading into next week is going to be a distraction as far as the team is concerned. But I think it was a classy move to let the coach come back. And, you know, we're starting to hear more and more stories, just like John Kuhn told you on Monday night. Yeah, you know, when I was a free agent, the first guy to call me is Mike McCarthy, and I'm over at the house and we're having a beer, and he's telling me, you know, I still think you got, you know, some left in the tank, and, you know, I'll be there. Anybody needs a reference? And he had a couple more great years with the New Orleans Saints. I mean, McCarthy, and this story about Aaron Rodgers saying, listen, man, I love the guy. I was with him for hours every week. Sometimes we'd end up meeting and hugging at least twice. In the last couple of years, I'm usually the first one in the locker room for some of my duties I've got for the network. And at least twice, right around that corner around Rodgers' locker, there's a big door there. It's the door that got like that magnet under it says, like, urgent this week. We've got to beat the right. Vikings. McCarthy's still in his coat. Aaron's still there in his shoulder pads and jersey. And they're talking, and they're talking. And it's like, you know, it's like they're kind of recapping and what happened here. And you see Rodgers pointing like that. It's like, and then you see McCarthy say, all right, man, you know, great job. And he gives the guy, he gives the player a hug. And a hug like, thank you for putting your body on the line. Thank you for playing for me. And that's what the NFL's about. It's coaches saying, I will do everything I can to coach you and get you ready. You go out there and play and have fun and be the star, and I don't want the spotlight, but I understand you are sacrificing your body so that we get the win, and I get to have a job for another week. That's what it comes down to. And it's got to be the balance of getting into the guy's head and discipline and threatening him with his job, but at the same time, understand, you're playing for me, and I appreciate that. And Clay Matthews talked about seeing McCarthy come back into the meeting room and talk to these guys after practice Wednesday afternoon.
You know, for him to invest the past 13 years in this team, has given his heart and soul to us, and you know, to have that kind of closure, I think it was great of the organization, Joe, Goody, Mark, everybody who allowed him to come in and kind of, you know, say his piece. So I know we really enjoyed it. I'm sure he did from a closure standpoint, and obviously we gave him the respect he deserved.
Now, McCarthy's gone, and we all know that there's question marks about this coaching staff, but one of the guys that we were discussing earlier is Mike Pettine and what he's done with his defense. It's kind of tough to evaluate. You can look at the numbers and say, okay, it's better, markedly better, but with the way they've lost personnel, got rid of personnel, it's kind of tough to evaluate how good Mike Pettine is or could be with this group. So I'm going to be interested to see what happens in the offseason.
Once again, somehow a revolving door again in the secondary. Kevin King going on IR, a first-round pick for the second consecutive year. You got Breland and other guys you brought in off the street. You know, now they're injured. I mean, it's just a revolving door again in that secondary, although you've got, you know, great promise for the future with a guy like Alexander and Josh Jackson and some of these other guys. You need a safety. And so I thought this was a really interesting reply from Clay Matthews to say, how do you think Mike Pettine has done as a defensive coordinator with getting performance out of your defense this year?
Well, I think a great deal. You know, the thing I really enjoyed about Dom, and this kind of speaks to the generation of players, I don't want to date myself that much, but when I first came in, there was just a lot more accountability put on the players to get their job done. And I think a little bit more pressure needs to be put on the young guys when they come in here now, and he's done exactly that. Because you look around the league, young guys are expected to play right off the bat, and it was no different, you know, with our team and early in the season with some of the DBs, and as well as where we're at with injuries. Young guys are playing, so it's important that they be held accountable, know their playbook, and get the job done when their name and number is called. So I think he's done a great job, of kind of putting us in the right direction.
So there's Clay Matthews saying, these young guys, man, they don't get it. They don't understand how hard you got to work. They don't understand how you absolutely have to know this stuff frontwards and backwards and being able to read an offense. Patton's, doing the best as he can, but this league keeps on throwing 22-year-olds out there instead of guys that have been in the system for 2 or 3 years, and that's why we're missing assignments.
Mike Pettine's the guy that, you know, they're looking to now to say, okay, what else can we do to get better? And short of personnel, he's tried to dial up numerous things, from pressures to different coverages. The one thing that they have not been really quality out, I guess the best way to put it, has been the fact that they have not been able to get turnovers consistently.
Haven't been able to get turnovers, haven't been able to close the deal in the fourth quarter. They've had a couple of, you know, they had a really bad first half against the Redskins. They gave up 22 in the fourth quarter to the Vikings at home at Lambeau Field. You know, they've seemed to nail down some things besides injuries to the secondary. But I'll tell you, I mean, you know, right now, people have to understand, these guys are all gone. They're going to clean the house. Mm-hmm. They're all gone. James Campen, who was snapping, who snapped for Favre on that first game of when Favre took over for Mikowski, 26 years ago, more than that, 1992. Maybe he's gone after all these years as offensive line coach. They're all gone. Ron Zook, he already knows he's gone. Because you're going to bring in a bright, new, young talent coach, and he's going to have his system. And Mark Murphy, this is professional football. It's a business. Mark Murphy's not crazy about having to give severance check to a coaching staff of 20 and moving in 20 new guys. Mm-hmm. That costs money. This coaching turnover stuff, this costs these teams money, man. But Mike Patton was talking about the fact that, you know, the other frustrating is he just spent a full year vested into the Green Bay Packers and not only training players but training a coaching staff and getting his system in.
The first year is always the hardest, and you invest so much time because it takes first. You got to coach the coaches first and get that part, get all on the same page there, and then be able to pass that information on to the players. And there's no substitute for the rep, so you just feel like when you do head into year two of a system that you're just that much further ahead. You know, and that's assuming you have the bulk of your core players back. And two, I think you also find out over the course of that year, you know, what are we built to do? You know, and you know what concepts are we good at? What are we not good at? What do we need to work on? What do we need to focus on? So it also I think helps narrow just the staff thoughts on the inventory. This is, you know, we are this type of team, and these are the 3-4 things that we do best, and we're going to build around it. Whereas a lot of times early on this year, it was more throwing darts and trying to figure out what it is. So just in general, I mean, I think you'd have to agree with that, you know, year two, that the bulk of the investment comes from year two. But again, you know, it's the way the NFL is. If you know, that's something that you know, we'll know soon enough.
Let's do this. We'll take one more break. Mike, you good for one more segment?
Oh, you bet.
Okay, hang in there. Mike Clements, NFL Sirius Radio, joining us for a couple of minutes. Hang in there. We got final segment of the Bill Michaels Show coming up next.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Final segment, Bill Michaels Show. I'm Bill Michaels. Find us on Twitter @Bill_Michaels. You can also track down Mike Clemens there as well as he joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. So, Mike, you know, you've obviously got the Packers kind of reeling right now, trying to put it all back together and put some type of a smiley face on all of this before it's all said and done. So now that you've got it all together, now what? I mean, what are you looking for, I guess, this weekend? Because I know that there's a lot of talk about Aaron Rodgers and the rift between him and Mike McCarthy. He's going to have all eyes on him now. He's going to be heavily scrutinized.
Yeah, and I think everybody, you know, even the listeners have made a good point. Well, so if Rodgers has a quarterback rating of 130 this weekend, does that mean that he was trying to get his coach fired? I don't think so. I mean, Aaron Rodgers throwing a game, that's like saying, you know what, I don't like my place of employment. So I went to the gas station, and I got 2 cans of gas, and I went into the office, and I poured it all over the computers, and I set the place on fire.
Yeah.
Or something a little short of that. If these guys aren't throwing games.
No.
But it's dysfunction, and they're upset with the system, or they're upset that the younger players aren't being coached properly. Or, you know, it just becomes a very complex web. And Aaron Rodgers is pretty stubborn on how he wants the offense to run and how it's supposed to play. That ends up being a conflict with what the playbook is and what the coaches have. And so you talk to David Bakhtiari, and I think this was the best, most honest assessment of what was going on between Rodgers and McCarthy.
Did you hear things about it? Yeah, but I never saw anything. I don't think McCarthy has called every single play that Aaron has enjoyed, whether it's a good play or bad play, depending on what has happened with that play. I think vice versa. I mean, I know Aaron has some of his liberties to call certain plays, given the situations where there's not enough time. And I'm sure McCarthy's sitting there and is unhappy with certain things that Aaron has called. But that goes both ways. They worked together for 13 years.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, not everybody's going to agree. You know, I completely understand that. But I don't think that the reports that things become so toxic that it almost becomes unworkable begin to surface either, just because you've been together for a long period of time.
We're not going to know the truth,
right,
until a guy like Randall Cobb, who's no longer with the team, sits down and spills.
Right.
You know, or Philbin would never say anything. It's going to be a former player, and he's going to let us know what's going on, but it'll be a year from now.
So now changes begin, whether it's Joe Philbin or somebody else. What specifically for this team to move forward? In the long term, yes, but in the media, you got to kind of figure out where you're at so you can assess talent and such and go to the offseason and figure out what you need to pick up, although I think it's pretty obvious at this point. But what is it now moving forward?
When you talk about the silos and those kinds of things, the foundation of this place, I thought the most honest thing that was said this week was this. Remember like last year when Ted Thompson cuts Martellus Bennett, all right, and he makes Mike McCarthy go out there and explain it? When it wasn't McCarthy's decision or McCarthy's deal, but that would happen time and time again when McCarthy would be out there barbecuing because Ted Thompson would only talk when the NFL required him to during the draft and during training camp. And when he got to that point, then Ted would say, oh, that's past history. The guy who made the most honest opinion of what the franchise needs to do is Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, hopefully moving forward, you know, maybe there's more voices upstairs. A lot of times, you know, Mike had to be out front in a lot of situations, and maybe moving forward, Mark talks more or Brian talks more. We all have our obligations, and most of us in the locker room adhere to those obligations pretty well. But it's been a different week for sure. Just not having him around.
I hear you talking to the Bucks front office. I hear you talking to David Stearns all the time on your show. When's the last time you had a general manager on the show from the Green Bay Packers?
Well, it's been forever. Ted didn't do it.
And I think Rodgers is absolutely right. You want to start talking about changing the culture? How about these guys talking to the fans and to us about where the franchise is going?
Yep, no doubt. Mike, good stuff as always. We'll see you on Sunday, and we'll see what transpires, man, okay?
Thank you, Bill.
All right, buddy, talk to you soon. There you go. That's Mike Clemens, NFL Sirius Radio, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. They've been doing it for a long, long time. Good people over there at Schneider. It's perfect because it's time for us to get out of here. So we shall see. Big weekend coming up for the Milwaukee Bucks. Tonight it's the Golden State Warriors. Then it's Toronto, two of the top teams in the NBA. How are they going to fare? And then obviously what's going to go down at Lambeau Field this coming Sunday. We are going to be back on Monday and talk about all of it. And I'm sure there's going to be something that we're going to latch on to and go, oh boy, here we go. Here we go. So stay tuned for that. Until then, have a terrific weekend. Time for us to go. Have a go. See you.
Listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.